Today's daf is Shabbos daf Tzadi Beis. We left off in daf Tzadi Aleph and Beis. Today we're first going to finish our discussion from yesterday about Eged Kli, whether the contents of the Kli would be considered to be in the Rishus HaYachid, even if they're physically located in Rishus Rabin, because the actual Kli remains in the Rishus HaYachid, and we follow where the item is or where the Kli is. And so we're going to continue that discussion. And then we're going to have a Mishnah that derives halachos about normal and abnormal ways of carrying objects from the way the Levim carried parts of the Mishkan. And the Gemara is going to derive from the way that the Levim carried the Mizbeach and the Aron, that if somebody carries an item more than 10 tefachim off the ground, he's still going to be chayim. And then at the bottom of Amud Aleph, the Gemara discusses carrying something on your head. The Mishnah on the top of Amud Beis and the Gemara that follows is going to discuss whether you're chayim when something you're carrying shifts to either a more protected or less protected position than when you initially started to carry it. The Mishnah at the very end of the daf discusses whether two people carry something, Shnayim Shasu'ua, is going to be chayiv for carrying, and it depends whether each individual would have been able to carry the item himself, whether one would be able to carry it, not the other. So that's going to be the last sugya on the daf. But let's first finish up from yesterday's sugya. We had a Mishnah yesterday, the Torah Sahalacha, that Kupa Shi Malaya Peros V'nasna L'Skupa Chitona, if you have a basket full of fruit and you put it on the outer part of the threshold, even though Rov Peros Min Bach, the majority of the fruits are in the Rishus HaRabim, your Paterach Yotzias Kalakupa. So we had a Machlokas Amoraim. What is the case of the Mishnah? Is the case of the Mishnah talking about where you have very long produce in the basket, and therefore, even when Rov of it is Bachutz, no single full vegetable is actually Bachutz. There's some part of each vegetable that's still inside, and that in fact is the Shita of Chizkia, that we're talking about Kishun Udluin. But had the Mishnah been speaking about chardal, if you were to have a case where it's mustard seeds, where by having the majority outside, it means many individual mustard seeds are entirely out in the Rishus HaRabim, then you'd be chayiv, because Chizkiah holds Eged Kli, lo shmei Eged. The fact that the Kli is partially inside does not mean that we consider everything inside the Kli to be partially inside. Rabbi Yochanan, however, holds that the Mishnah can even be speaking about a basket full of mustard seeds. And even though many of the seeds are entirely in the Rishus HaRabim, Rabbi Yochanan holds Eged Kli, shmei Eged. That as long as the Kli that holds them is still partially in the Rishus HaYachid, they're all considered to be partially in the Rishus HaYachid. So yesterday we brought a brisa as proof. We tried to bring a brisa as proof in terms of this machlokas of Eged Kli Shmei Eged or Lo Shmei Eged, but we rejected that. Raya, now we're going to bring another brisa that we think may help to prove this point. So we left off about five lines from the end of the page. Sadi Alfam Beis Masav Rav Bibi Barabaye Hagonev Kis B'Shabbos Chayiv. If a person steals a wallet on Shabbos, he's Chayiv. He's Chayiv Misa for being Mechal Shabbos. Shekvar Nischayiv Beginevah Kodem Shev L'Deyas for Shabbos. Even though normally we have a concept called Kam Le B'Drab Mineh, the entire third paragraph of Masechta Ksuvos is about this concept of Kam Le B'Drab Mineh, that if a person does an Avera for which he's Chayiv two separate onshim, he's chayiv a more severe onesh and a less severe onesh, you only get the more severe onesh and not the less severe onesh. So if a person steals a wallet on Shabbos l'chora, he's chayiv mamon for the stealing and he's chayiv misa for the chol Shabbos of carrying the wallet outside on Shabbos. But the Braisa tells us that if you're going to kiss for Shabbos, you are chayiv. You're chayiv for the mamon as well, not just the misa, because you were chayiv for the geneva before the Yisr Shabbos. One of the requirements for kam le'bidrav mineh to work is that it needs to be be'idna. The chayiv for the more severe onesh and for the less severe onesh have to come at the exact same time. Over here, the Yisr geneva comes before the Yisr Shabbos. But hayim megar v'yotzei Potter. But if you didn't pick it up and therefore violate the Yisr Geneva prior to taking it outside, prior to the Yisr Shabbos, you were dragging it out, then you're going to be Potter from the Mammon. You're going to be still going to be Chayiv the Misa, but you're going to be Potter from the Mammon, because the Yisr Geneva and the Yisr Shabbos ban kechad, because the Yisr Geneva and Yisr Shabbos come at the same time. But frek the Gemara, wait a second. If you hold that the fact that part of the Kli that's holding the coins that are in this wallet is still inside the Rishus HaYachid would make it that vis-a-vis Hilchos Shabbos, we'd view all of the coins as if they're still in a Rishus HaYachid, Kadim la Yisur Geneva l'Yisur Shabbos, then the Yisur Geneva should come before the Yisur Shabbos, because the Yisur Geneva is violated as soon as any full coin is outside in the Rosh Hashanah, but the Yisur Shabbos is not violated until the entire Kli is out in the Rosh Hashanah. So isn't this a raya that Eged Kli is Lo Shmei Eged? So says Gemara, Ida Afke Derech Piv, Hachinami. If you were to take it out in a way where the opening of the wallet is facing toward the outside, then Ein Hachinami, that would be true, because you would still have access to the money. But over here we're talking about where you're taking it out where the bottom of the wallet is facing toward the outside, so you wouldn't have any access to the money, and since you don't have any access to the money, you didn't have any kinyani geneva on it. Even if an entire coin is located on the physical property of a Rosh Hasharabim, it's not considered to be a kinyani geneva because you don't have any access to the money from the outside. So says Gemara Vayika Makom Chalma, but what about the place where they do the stitching that holds the bag together? Can't you just debay mafkala vishakil? Can't you just undo the stitching and gain access to the money inside the bag? Even when the bottom of the bag is facing outside, you could unstitch it and gain access to the bag that way. Says the Gemara ben Nascha, a different answer, that we're not talking about you have a bag full of coins. We're talking about where you have a bag full of rods of silver, and it's therefore very similar to the cases that we mentioned already with the vegetables. And what else did we have? We had another case yesterday with the the spices, where you have the very long, where since they're very long, when the majority is in the Rosh Hasharabim, you still have a minority of each item remaining in the Rosh Hasiyachid. So it's got nothing to do with Eged Kleets. The item itself remains partially in the Rosh Hasiyachid. Now Tosus Maseches Erevin of Samach Beis Amud Aleph says that when it comes to Megar V'yotze, right, we said you're Pata from Tashlumin, because then the Geneva and the Chiv Misa come at the same time. Tos points out that we don't say Kam Lev Dirabine if the item is still Be'en, meaning there is a mitzvah in the Torah that you have to return any object that you stole. So if you have an object that doesn't belong to you, still in your possession, you don't say, oh, I'm Chayiv Misa, so I can keep it. No, you still have a Chiyiv to actually return it. So over here, when we say that if you go to Kis by being Megar V'yotze that your Patek is Kam Lev Dirabine, it must be talking about a case where you already spent the money, where you already did something with it. Because otherwise, if you have somebody else's stuff, so certainly when you have the actual stuff itself, you have to return it. The question is, when it's an onesh of mammon, when you have to find other money to pay for something that you took, that's where you're going to be pater from the mammon. Okay, so the Gemara says further, now on the top of Sadi Beis Amralf, v'kivin di'ika shnotzin mapuk le'ad pumei, v'shari v'shakel, v'shnotzin agidim megavoy. But wait a second, if there are drawstrings on this wallet, so even if you bring it all the way out, up until the opening of the wallet, till the opening of the bag, still the drawstrings will still be inside, and Eged Kli should still tell us that at the moment that you're chayiv for the Geneva, that will come before the moment you chayiv for Shabbos, because of the drawstrings that are still inside. So even as so says, we're talking about that there are no drawstrings. Or maybe there are, but they're wrapped around the bag itself, they're wrapped around the wallet itself, and they therefore are not inside the Rosh Hashayachid once the entire bag is outside into the Rosh Hasharabim. Period. So that raya does not really work. Rava also says, like Chizkiah, that Rava said, when the Mishnah said that you're part of bringing a basket of fruit from Rosh Hashayachid to an area straddling the Rosh Hashayachid and Rosh Hashayachid, it's only speaking about a basket of long vegetables which are not entirely in the Rosh Hashayachid. If they were smaller and they were entirely in the Rosh Hashayachid, you'd be chayav for bringing them out, because Rava apparently holds Eged Kli, Lo Shmei Eged. We're not concerned about the placement of the Kli, we're concerned about the placement of the fruit. Alma Kasavar Eged Kli, Lo Shmei Eged. Abai Amar, Abai disagrees. He says, Afil Mleichardel Pater. Even if it's, if Abai holds, even if the Kli is full of mustard seeds, you're still going to be Pater, since Eged Kli, Alma Kasavar Eged Kli, Shmei Eged. He holds that Eged Kli is Shmei Eged. We're concerned by the location of the Kli, and not the location of the fruits. Says the Gemara, even though we say that Rava holds Eged Kli Lo Shmei Eged, Abaye holds Eged Kli Shmei Eged, come Abaye Bishitase de Rava, come Rava Bishitase de Abaye. Abaye and Rava ultimately switched opinions. They changed to each hold like the other one's opinion. Says the Gemara, V'rami da Abaye da Abaye, V'rami da Rava da Rava. Even after they switch opinions, can't we ask a stira that we're going to find that Abaye is associated himself and Rava is associated himself? Tells us raises the obvious problem. How can you ever ask a stira? If you ever find that there's a stira between two things that Abaye says, just that you have a simple built-in answer. One is before he changed his mind, one is after he changed his mind. And the same with Rava. One is before he changed his mind, one is after. So Tosfos says, Kim leila shas tahach milsa demaisi itmar basa dahadrabahu. That the Gemara must have had a tradition, must have known that whatever we're about to quote was said after they've already changed their minds. Otherwise, it obviously wouldn't, the kasha wouldn't get off the ground. It must be after they've already changed their minds that we're going to ask this kasha. The itmar hamotzi perus rishus harabim. If a person carries perus out into rishus harabim, abaye amar biyad chayiv bekli pater. If you carry it by hand, you're going to be chayiv. You carry it by kli, you're going to be putter. Why? Because as long as some of the kli is still in the house, you're going to be putter. Apparently, Abaye holds Eged Kli, Shmei Eged. Right, that Eged Kli is called Eged, which is how we originally thought he said. But when he changed his mind, he's supposed to have changed his mind from that opinion. V'Rava Amar, and Rava says, no, Biyad Pater. If you carry it in your hand, you're Pater, because Rava holds Eged Gufo is Shmei Eged. That if part of your body is still in the Rishos Yachid, and your hand is in the Rishos Rabim, so then we go Basar the Guf, Eged Gufo is Shmei Eged. But Bekli, Chayiv, if you carry it in a Kli, even though part of the Kli is still in the Rishos Yachid, Eged Kli is Lo Shmei Eged. We're not going to look at where the Kli is. We're going to look at where the contents of the Kli are. So don't you see it's a stira between Abaye and Abaye and between Rava and Rava. And so Gemara Epoch, switch around the Shitos. Biyad Chayiv. So the epoch period. So says Gemara, wait, biyad chayiv. We've been focusing on the kli side of this discussion because our whole sugya is about eged kli shmei eged or lo shmei eged. But now let's focus on the other half of the statement. We have this machlokas Abaye and Rava. If let's say I am standing in Rishos HaYachid and I stick my hand out carrying something into the Rishos HaRabim, so we have this machlokas, am I chayiv or not? Do we say eged yad shmei eged or do we not say eged yad? So says Gemara, Biyad Chayiv Atnan, we have a Mishnah, Pasha Balabayis is Yad Luchutz. The first Mishnah in the Masechta spoke exactly about this case, that if the Balabayis sticks his hand outside into the Rosh Hashanah holding something, V'nata la'ani mitocha, and the ani takes from inside the Balabayis' hand, O shenasan l'tocha v'hichnis, or the ani puts something in the Balabayis' hand, and then the Balabayis brings it inside, Shnei and Peturin, they're both going to be Pater. Apparently, neither of them has done the full Malacha. So, but if you're going to say that Eged Yad, that Biyad Chayiv, that Eged Yad is Lo Shmei Eged, so it's considered to be that we don't care where the body is as long as we look only where the hand is, shouldn't the Baal Bayis be Chayiv? He's done everything. He's picked it up in the Rosh Hashanah and he's now brought it out into the Rosh Hashanah. So why do we say Shnei Peturin? Answers the Gemara, Hasam Lamala Migimel, Hachal Lamata Migimel. It's a different issue. Over there, it's above three Tfachim off the ground, and therefore, it never had a Hanacha. It's not that it was never transferred into the different Rishos. It was. When the Baal Bayis sticks his hand out into the Rosh Hashanah, this item has been moved to Rosh Hashanah. We don't look at where the Baal Bayis' body is to determine the location of the item. It is absolutely in a Rosh Hashanah. But the point is, it never had a hanacha. It never rested anywhere. So you can't violate Hotzah unless you have an Akira, transference of Rosh Hashanah, and Hanacha. So that's why he's going to be Pater. But over here, we're talking Lamata Migimel, it's within three Tfachim of the ground, and therefore it's always considered Kemunach, it's always considered as if it's already resting somewhere. Okay, new Mishnah now. Tzadi Beis Amin Aleph at the Mishnah. Hamotzi, now we're going to move on to discuss carrying in unusual ways, whether a person is Chayiv, if he carries in a way that's an unusual way to carry. So says the Mishnah, Hamotzi Bein Biyamino, Bein Bismolo, person carries carries with his right hand, carries with his left hand, v'tochiko al ksefav, he carries in his lap, he carries on his on his shoulders, chayiv sheken masa benekas. All of these things are the normal ways that they would carry in the midbar, and since they're normal ways to carry in the midbar, person is going to be chayiv for all of these normal ways. But if a person carries on the back of his hand, beraglo, on his foot, bepiv, in his mouth, marpeko, in his armpit, ba'ozno, in his ear, besaro, in his hair, ubepundaso, stick something in his money belt, upil lamata, and it's facing down, bein pundaso l'chaluko, between his money belt and his shirt, ubesvas chaluko, in the hem of his shirt, bemina'alo, in his shoes, besandalo, in his sandals, pater. In all those cases, your pater, shalo hotzi kederech hamotzin, because those are unusual ways to actually carry. Now we said in the beginning of the Mishnah, if you carry, whether it's with your right hand, whether it's with your left hand, you're going to be chayiv. Tiferes Shaul points out that in general you're only chayiv for a melacha, and this is the sort of our mission really, you're only chayiv for a melacha when you do it in a normal way without any shinoi. As soon as you do a shinoi, you're pater. Like if you are motzi a masa kal, a very light package on your head, you're pater, because that's not a normal way to carry something. Usually you'll only use your head for support if it's extremely heavy and you're having difficulty with just your arms. So similarly, if someone writes with his left hand, he's pater, because ein derech ksiva b'kach. So says it's very strong. Dafka, that's by kosev. Kosev is something that's fine motor skills that are required for kosev, and a righty would never write with his left hand. It's entirely unusual for someone to write with his left hand if he's a righty. What about other malachos for a righty to do with his left hand? So he says, when it comes to other malachos, we would never say, let's say you light a candle with your left hand instead of your right hand. If you're a righty, it's not usual to light a candle with your left hand, but it doesn't involve such significant fine motor skills, and therefore, he says, you would still be chayiv. That's not nearly enough of a shinoi. What's his raya? Our Mishnah. When we talk about Hotzah, when you have to carry something, so typically a righty will carry something with his right hand. He wouldn't carry something in his left hand, but it's not really so unusual for a righty to use his left hand for carrying. It doesn't require fine motor skills, and therefore, he's still going to be chayiv. It's not going to be called a real shinui. So that's what the Chayyadim writes in Klal Tes. Siv Beis, Bein Sha'asa Malacha B'yimino, O B'smolo, Yer Chayiv Chutz Me'a Kosev. Except for Kosev, Kosev is the one exception, and he has a raya from a Tosefta. The Tosefta says that if you Tolesh, Bein B'yimino, Bein B'smolo, if you rip something out of the ground with your left hand, that's also going to be Chayiv. That's not considered enough of a shinui. Now the whole heter of Kila Achar Yad is because of the Yisurei Shabbos we learn from the Mishkan, and by the Mishkan had to be Malachas Machsheves. So anything that was normal to do with the Malachas Machsheves, purposeful action in the Mishkan, you're going to be Chayiv. The Avnei Nezer asks in Egle Tal, in Malachas Ofe, Os Mem Dalit, that by other Yisurim, what do you mean? Is this really only a Hilcha Shabbos thing? We find Lo Kederech by other Yisurim also. We have by Achila, Kederech Achilaso, by Hana'a, Derech Hana'asan. We have Nichlas Labayis HaManuga, going into a house that has tzaraz, Derech HaChorav, that you don't become Tamei when you go in an unusual way. So we have Shalok Kederech all over Halacha. So how can we assume that Shalok Kederech is Dafka Din Shabbos and Melechus Machsheves? We do have it everywhere. So the Avnei Nezer is Mevayer that there's a fundamental chiluk between Shabbos and Shar Yisurim. When it comes to the other Yisurim, the Shinoi is in the Nif'al. It's in the object that is that you're doing the action on, for instance, when we talk about shalok kederech achila, we talk about something that's not ro'i la'achila, something that itself is not at all really edible. As opposed to by Shabbos, the shinoi is in the pu'ula. The shinoi is in the action that you do it. That it's not in the object that you're doing the action on. The objects that you're carrying here are normal objects to carry, but you're doing it in an unusual way. That's a vart in Melechas Machsheves. That's how he explains the chiluk. It doesn't really necessarily work for all the cases, especially the Derech Achila one, but that's it because there's a separate halacha by Derech Achila, there's a separate pasuk we've mentioned a few times recently, that a nevela she'ena ruya leger is ena kri nevela, that if the object itself happens to be inedible, so then it's stam, it's not a problem of kashrus if it happens to be inedible. That's why soaps, I always get the question every once in a while: Does dish soap need to be kosher? Do you need to have an OU on dish soap? Apparently, some of them do have hashgacha on it. So people ask, does it require? No, you would never eat dish soap. Some may be stuck on your dishes. That's bad, and it would make the food taste worse. So it's not roi lachila. So that's in the object itself, but that's because we have a separate pasuk to learn that din about shalok kederach. So anyway, so this is the din of melachas machsheves. So says Gemara, Amar Rav Lazar, hamotzi masu lemalam me'asar tefachim chayiv shekei masu b'nei kas. If a person carries something on Shabbos that's more than 10 tefachim off the ground, he is chayiv for carrying it, because everything is learned out from the Mishkan, and the Masa B'nei Kas was that way as well. It was more than 10 tefachim off the ground. Masa B'nei Kas Minalan, really? How do you know that? How do we know? Who gave us the Ruach HaKodesh to know that the Masa B'nei Kas was lifted more than 10 tefachim off the ground? Because the Pasuk says, Ala Mishkan V'al Mizbeach Saviv. The Pasuk compares or juxtaposes Mishkan to Mizbeach. So we learn Makish Mizbeach that we're comparing the Mishkan to the Mizbeach. So just like the Mishkan was 10 amos tall, the Mizbeach was 10 amos tall as well. Mishkan gufei minalan. How do I know the Mishkan was 10 amos tall? Dichsiv esra amos aruch hakerish, because the board that made up the Mishkan reached 10 amos tall. So obviously the Mishkan was 10 amos tall. Uchsiv vayifros esa'ol ala Mishkan, and the oval was spread over those boards. Va'amar Rav, Moshe Rabbeinu pirsu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who spread the cloth over the Mishkan. Mikanat alamad govan shalaviyim esra amos. So you see that if Moshe Rabbeinu was your average height Levi, that Leviyim must have been 10 amos tall. So we know that they were 10 amos tall. Again, this is it's all part of a long cheshbon. We started this question by asking, how do I know that when the B'nai Kas carried something that was 10 tfachim off the ground? So step one is to say that the Mizbeach was 10 amos high, was 10 amos tall. Step two is to say that the Levium who were carrying it were 10 amos tall. Now we just need to know how they were carrying it to see how far off the ground it was lifted. Ugemiri, so we have a tradition that if you want to carry something effectively, the kaltuna, the midli, bimotos, any burden, any package that you carry using poles, tilsimila elutre, tilsimila tachas. The best place to put the poles are two-thirds up along the height of the kli. If you put it two-thirds up along the height of the kli, that's the best way to put the poles. So shtakach tavim midli tuva. So now you do the math. You have people who are 10 amos tall carrying an object that's 10 amos tall with poles on their shoulders, and the poles are at the two-thirds mark of the object. So what's two-thirds of 10 amos is, six and two-thirds, right? Six and two-thirds amos. So there's three and a third amos above their shoulders, which means that the 10 amos high thing is about three amos off the ground. It's at least over two amos. It's more than 10 tefachim off the ground. An amos is five or six tefachim. So this is more than two amos off the ground. It's more than 10 tefachim off the ground. That's the way that they carried it. So you see that if you carry something that's more than 10 tefachim off the ground, that it's that you're going to be chayv. This is machlokas from Ban and Rashi ala Torah. The Ramban in Parshas Truma says that the taba'os of the Aron were when they carried the Aron. Now this is talking about the mizbech, but this comes into play that the taba'os of the Aron were on the bottom of the Aron because it was so heavy that they had to carry it that way. And also he says derech hakavod that the Aron should be lifted entirely above the shoulders of the people carrying it, and he rejects Shitas Rashi, where Rashi says that the shlisha elya that the poles were in the upper third of the Aron. So the Torah says in the name of the Rosh brings a raya to Rashi from our Gemara that it had to be in the shlisha elyon because gemiri that's the way you carry heavy burdens that it has to be that way. And if rov of the weight was above their shoulders, it wouldn't be stable. When you carry something with the majority of the weight above the shoulders, it could just very easily shift and fall down. Now it happens to be the Aron was no seis no sav, but we had to carry it in a logical way without relying on a miracle. Anyway, it had to be a miracle anyhow. When you do the calculations of the weight of the Aron, the amount of solid gold that was used in the Aron, I was talking to a couple of years ago when Rabbi Danny Wolf was here for Shabbos. So he's a genius. He's the one that figures these kinds of things out. So he was sitting there at the Shabbos table making the cheshbon. Rabin of how of exactly how much the Aron weighed. I forgot the number he came out with, but there's no way that a few people would have been able to carry it anyhow. So anyway, it relies on a miracle, but still, you try to minimize the miracle as much as possible, carry it in the most normal way. So that's what they defend Rashi. That Rashi seems to be more based on our Gemara. Some Sofer also writes that the Aron Imaluchos. It's not shaykh to our Gemara. That's how he defends the Ramban. Chassam Sofer in general always was very fond of defending the Ramban. He was very committed to the Ramban. So the Chassam Sofer writes that the defense for the Ramban is that our Gemara is talking about the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach didn't carry those who carried it, so you needed to carry it in the most logical way. The Aron was no sof, so you couldn't carry it however you wanted to carry it, because it was carrying you anyway. You weren't the one that was carrying the Aron. Viba Yisema, says Gemara Vayter, Me Aron, that we actually learn it from the Aron, we don't learn it from the Mizbeach. The Aron itself was only 10 tefachim tall, not 10 amos, 10 tefachim tall. The Aron was 9, the kaparis that covered the Aron was 1, so that's 10. Ugamiri, the kaltuna, the midli motos, tilsimila el, uche tilsimila ra. Anything that you carry on poles, again, the poles have to be 2/3 of the way up. Ishtakach tilamal miyod avakai. So then it would turn out that it was more than 10 tefachim off the ground. Even if the levium weren't 10 amos tall, it would be 10 tefachim off the ground. So says Gemara of Ligmar Moshe, what was wrong with our first limud? Why couldn't we learn out from Moshe that if Moshe was 10 amos tall, Mestama, all the other levim were 10 amos tall, and learn from the way they carried the Mizbeach? So Gemara says, nah, Dilma Moshe Shaini. Maybe Moshe was unusually tall, even for a Levi. Meaning, it's a strange assumption, no? That the Gemara would make, that if Moshe was 10 amos tall, that all of the levim must have also been 10 amos tall. So Gemara says, no, it could have been that Moshe was unusually tall. Damar Mar, Eina Shechina Shara, Ella Al Chacham Gibor Va'ashiru Balkoma, that in order for a person to have Nevuah, in order for the Shechina to be with the person, he needs to be a Chacham, he needs to be a Gibor, he needs to be an Ashir, he needs to be wealthy, and he needs to be a Balkoma, he needs to be somebody who's tall. Apparently that's one of the requirements. So Moshe Rabbeinu could not have been that tall. Now the Achronim point out what the Svara was to assume that way in the first place is that if everyone else was average height is assumed to be 3 amos. So if the rest of the world was 3 amos tall and Moshe was 10 amos tall, that would mean Moshe was more than 3 times the height of an average man. That would make Moshe Balmum. That would make him, that's not a good thing. That would make it, right? You don't want to make Moshe into a Balmum. So it has to be, that's one of the mum, the Pasul Kohanim, someone who's Gadol Ba'aflaga from Shara'am. The Gemara in Bechoros talks about this. So the Gemara in Bechoros says, you can't say anything about Moshe, but you can't see some Moshe, Balmum. So that's the Svara to say. So even in Lamaskanas HaGemara, we're not saying that everybody, all the other Levim were 3 amos tall. We're saying they were 7 amos tall, 8 amos tall. They just weren't 10 amos tall. So that's what you have to say. Now what's this din that a Navi has to be an Ashir? Sounds like a very unusual requirement for a Navi, that he has to be wealthy. So the Drasha Saran says that he has to be an Ashir because a Navi's job is to inspire people, and in order to inspire people, people have to listen. People tend to listen to rich people. They for some reason, they put more stock into what rich people say than what people who aren't rich say. So that's why he has to be an usher. He'll be more effective in inspiring people. That is against the Rambam. The Rambam, the Shmona Prakim, in Parag Zayin of the Shmona Prakim, says no. Eina Nevuah Shara El Al Chacham Gibor V'Yashir. And then Chazal defined those terms for us. Eizu Gibor HaKovish Es Yitzro. Eizahu Ashir HaSameach B'Chelko. So Chazal defined these terms for us, not Stam, just so we can know what the definition of Ashirus is, but it helps us understand what a Navi was. That a Navi had to be an Ashir, meaning Sameach Bechelko. Over here it sounds, though, that it must be Kipshuto, that he's a Balkoach, because it's a Balkoma is a Kipshuto, that he had to actually taka be very tall. So okay, you have to, maybe there's a difference between the height requirement and the Ashirus requirement. The Midah of Histapkus certainly seems to be the more important Midah for a Navi than actually having a fat bank account. Okay, Vayitu in the Gemara. Amar Rav, Mishum Rabbi Chi.
kfiya. Hamotzi masu b'shabbos al rosho chayiv chatos shekein anshi hutzalosim kein. If a person carries a burden on his head on Shabbos, he's chayiv korban chatos, because that's how the anshi hutzal would carry. It was normal for anshi hutzal, so therefore it's considered a normal way to carry. So frankly, Gemara, but we're not anshi hutzal. Anshi hutzal ruba di alma. What are the anshi hutzal, the majority of the world, that they should define what's normal? Eliyit mar hachid. Now we meant says as follows. Amra mishum rabchia echem imrei hutzal shahotzi masu al rosho b'shabbos chayiv shekein b'nei iro olsin kein. That one of the b'nei hutzal who carries something on his head on Shabbos, he's chayiv because that's what they do where he comes from. So frankly, more of a typical diet to eitzel kol adam. But why don't we say that they're strange and that it's unusual and just because they do it, it doesn't make it normal. Eliyit mar hachid. So the way we have to say it is as follows. Hamotzi masu al rosho Potter. If a person carries a burden on his head, he's potter. Vimtim tzulomer anshei hutzal. You're going to say, ah, but anshei hutzal do it, so it must be normal. Anshei hutzal osin kein. Batla daita neitzel kol adam. Anshei hutzal do not get to determine what is normal. We say that it's batla daita neitzel kol adam. So there is a shayla. Rav Zilberstein discussed over here, and it's halach lemaisa in Eretz Yisrael. If someone is called up for service in the army on Shabbos, so what does he do with this talis and tefillin? He wants to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin, but Shabbos doesn't need the tefillin today. Is he allowed to bring the tefillin with him on Shabbos? Now, certainly, neshek, anything else that he needs, any protective armor, anything that's pikuach nefesh, obviously, he's allowed to do. But is it pikuach nefesh to bring his tefillin? He just wants to be able to wear tefillin the next day. So the post can point out that there are four shailas over here. There's a shaila of hotza'ah from Rosh Hashanah to Karmelis. There's a shaila of hachana from Shabbos to Chol. There's a shaila of muktza, and the shaila of hotza'ah chutz l'tchum. But in terms of the hotza'ah on Shabbos, our issue, the hotza'ah from Rosh Hashanah to Karmelis, so Zilberstein points out that there are that what they recommend is to carry it in an unusual way, to carry it on his head or something like that, in an unusual way, tachas kovo, under his hat or something, in the bag, or to put it between his jacket and his body, carry it in some sort of unusual way, because that's a combination of a variety of three different dinim derabanan, where you could be mekel when you put them all together. First is, we're only carrying from Rosh Hashanah to Karmelis anyway, Mustami's not going to Rosh Hashanah to Raisa. Second of all, Tzol Kalachar Yad, which is our Gemara. That Tzol Kalachar Yad, you're not going to be chayiv, if you carry like the Anshei Hutzal, you're not going to be chayiv. The Rambam paskins this way, Perek Yud Beis Vilcha Shabbos, Halacha Yudalit, in Loka Chayfetz Kalk, Kagon Sheiniach, Beger, or Sefer, Osakin, Al Rosho, Votzio, Vueno, Ochaz Biodo, Hareza Potter, Shalahotzi Kederach Hamotzim. You take something like Tefillin, it's not that heavy, and you carry it using your head, your potter, that is an unusual way to carry. And third is riba b'shiurim. The stomach's got to carry other stuff anyway, because that's pikuach nefesh. Once he's carrying other stuff anyway, to just add more to what he's carrying may only be an isser drabanan. Riba b'shiurim is only going to be an isser drabanan. So anyway, so that's the clue that they have. The other discussion he has is the kangaroo packs that people carry their babies in. You ever see those things, right? That sometimes they put it in the back or they put it in the front. So where you're allowed to carry a child that way, if you have a baby who can't walk, whether that's mutter. So he's mesupak, because is that called normal? Because they made it dafka for that, to be carried in that way? Or do you say, no, you don't find chashma people walking around like that. You don't see people very dignified walking around carrying that. So he thought maybe for a nashim chashuvim, maybe he has a different definition, that it would be unusual for him, and therefore maybe it would be mutter. Okay, at least potter. So says the Gemara Vayitin and Mishnah, top of Tzadi Beis and Beis. Hamiskavi lotzi l'fan of a bali achar of potter. If a person intends to carry something in front of him, but it shifts to behind him, he's going to be potter. L'achar of bali l'fan of, if he's carrying something behind him and it shifts to in front of him, so then he's going to be chayiv. Be'emesam, because it went from a less protected place to a more protected place. Be'emesam, if a woman is wearing some type of special protective garment and the thing shifts around, whether it shifts around to the front or to the back, it's going to be chayev, because it's normal to expect it to shift, and that's therefore part of the normal way of carrying. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af mekabli psakin, even people who are carrying letters would have the same halacha. Rashi says letters of the melech, to give them leratzim, to give them to people who are going to bring them to different communities, they're also chayiv and otza, even if the machshava, that the way they initially intended to carry it didn't actually happen. So that's still going to be a chiyuv of hotzah. Says the Gemara, Maisha in the fun of the bolo liachav the pata dlo savin machshavaso liachav bolo fun nami alo savin machshavaso. Why is it that the Mishnah says that when you carry it in front of you and then it shifts to the back, you're pata because you didn't end up carrying it the way you intended to carry it. So when you started carrying it behind you and it shifted to the front, you also didn't end up carrying it the way you intended to carry it. Therefore, you should be pata. Why are you chayiv? So Amar Blazer Tavra Mishnah. You got to say that this is authored by two separate Tanaim. One Tana says that if you didn't carry it the way you intended to carry it, you're chayiv. The other one says you're potter. Amar Rava, my question, Rava says, no, it's not a stiva to begin with. Dilma, the fun of Bala Liakrav, had no time to potter, then the scat of the Shmir Mu'ulav also be able to Shmir Pachusa. Maybe when you initially tried to carry it in front of you and it shifted to the back, the reason you're potter is because you tried to protect it very well, and then you didn't do as well as you thought because it shifted around to a less protected place. Liachrav bolo lefanav, hainu time of the chayiv. But if you intended to carry it behind you and then it shifted to in front of you, the reason you're chayiv is in the sky of the shmir pechusa, but also be able to shmir meula. You did even more of a malachas machshavas than you wanted to do. You were trying to do it with a less of a shmira, and now you have it really well guarded. Elamai kushya. So what's the stira? Why would we say mishanazu lo shanazu? There's a stira in our mission. It's not a stira at all. So diukut the masnisim kasha. No, it's not the halachos that we have a problem with. It's the diuk that you can make from it that we have a problem with. Hamiskaven lahotzi lefan of bala lachrav pater. So the Mishnah had said if you intend to carry it in front of you and it shifts to behind you, you pater. What's the diuk? Haliachrav bala liachrav chayiv. That if you intended to carry it behind you and you did, then you're going to be chayiv. Then the Sefer says, Emesefer liachrav bala lefan of the chayiv. That if you intend to carry it behind you and then it shifts to in front of you, you're chayiv. The implication is haliachrav bala liachrav. Potter, that if you intended to carry it behind you, and you did carry it behind you, you're potter, so it's a steer in the diyukim. What would the halacha be in a case where you wanted to carry it behind you, and you did? The ratio sounds like chayiv, seifa sounds like potter. Amr Blazer, Tavra, Mishanazu, Lo Shanazu. That's what Amr Blazer says, that it has to be authored by two separate Tanaim. Amr Avashi, my kushya, that's not a kasha either. Dilma, lomi bayi kamar. Lomi bayi lachrav bala lachrav de chayiv de savi de makshavaso, el afilu lachrav bala fun of its strichle. Salka dait chamina, hov lo savi makshavaso, lo lachayiv. Maybe the Mishnah is telling me when the Sefer says that if you carry it behind you and it shifts to in front of you that you're chayiv, maybe it's not saying that had you intended to carry it behind you and it stayed behind you, you'd be potter. No, that you'd also be chayiv. That's obvious that you're chayiv because you did exactly what you tried to do. That's the ultimate melechus makshavas. He's trying to tell me a bigger chiddush, that even when you tried to carry it behind you and then it shifted to in front of you, even then you're going to be chayiv. Why? Because it went to a better spot of shmira. But says Gemara, when you intend to carry it behind you, and you do carry it behind you, that's in fact the machlokas tanaim. Titanu ever brisa hamotzi mos bepundaso upiel the malachai. If you carry money out of the money belt and its opening is on top, you're going to be chayiv peel amata, but if you're carrying it upside down, Rabbi Yehuda mechayiv v'cham potter. Rabbi Yehuda says chayiv v'cham say potter. Amlan Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said to the chachamim, iyata modim. Rabbi Yehuda who said you're chayiv says iyata modim. Don't you agree? Belachrav bala lachrav shu chayiv, that if you carry in an unusual way, like behind you, that you're going to be chayiv. V'amla l'cham says Rabbi Yehuda, v'iyata modik lachrav yad v'raglu shu potter. That there are certain ways that are so unusual to carry that you definitely be potter, like carrying it on the back of your hand or on your foot or something. Says, well, I tried to get my point across. They tried to get their point across, meaning I had a kasha on them, they had a kasha on me. I was never able to answer their question. They were never able to answer my question. Now, wait a second. What was this question? From the fact that Rabbi Yehuda said to them, aren't you moda that when you carry something behind you, you intend to carry it behind you, and you do carry it behind you, aren't you moda in that case that you're chayiv? Salav mechal de patri rabbanon. Sounds like the rabbanon are not moda, that they would say that you're pater in that case. So you see that it's a machlokes tanaim of liachrav bolo liachrav machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the rabbanon. So says no, that's a bad assumption. Just because Rabbi Yehuda said aren't you moda doesn't mean that they're not moda. It could be that in a chinami, that case that they are moda. And the proof is dekar milei. What did the rabbanon say to Rabbi Yehuda? Iyata moda mechal de mechayiv Rabbi Yehuda. What, from the fact that they say to Rabbi Yehuda, aren't you moda that when you carry it on your foot that you're pater? What, you think Rabbi Yehuda holds your chayiv in that case? No, we know everyone holds that if you carry it on your foot or your the back of your hand, you're pater. It must be that if you intend to carry it behind you and you do carry it behind you, everyone holds your chayiv. You carry it on the back of your foot, the back of your hand, everyone holds that you're pater. The whole question is, you're carrying a money bag and it's upside down. One thinks that that's not so unusual. It's like carrying a backpack, which you're chayiv. One thinks that that's very unusual. It's like carrying something on the back of your foot or the back of your hand, where you're pater. Be'emes Amru, Isha, the Mishnah then went on to say that Be'emes Amru, that a woman is Chogeres Besinar, and she's gonna be Chayiv no matter where it shifts. Tana kol be'emes halachihi. Anything that's be'emes is a halacha, which either means halacha l'moshe m'sinai, like Rabbi Chananel says, or it's a long-standing halacha that we have accepted for many generations. Rabbi Yudom are af mekabli psakin, even letter carriers. Tana shekein lavlori malchus osin kein. The people who carry the letters of the malchus do this, and therefore it's not considered unusual, and they're going to be chayiv no matter which way it shifts to the front or to the back. Hashem will pick up with the Mishnah tomorrow.